Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Bonnie North. Yesterday, Lake Effect covered the opening of the Inclusion Clinic by Frederd and the Medical College of Wisconsin. It's the area's first primary and preventive care clinic for the LGBTQ community. On the other end of the care spectrum is navigating the local, state, and federal aid systems you might need when you and your partner faces a disability later in life.
Milwaukee native Larry Gnatzig recently navigated these support systems when his husband, Jeff Tucker, was diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia. Even though Larry and Jeff had been together for more than two decades, the systems and policies in place did not meet or even recognize their needs as a same-sex couple.
Gnatzig became an activist, not just for his husband, but for others who are dealing with the many faces of dementia. He recently joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski and recalls the first time he knew something was wrong with his husband.
About 3 years ago, Jeff was exhibiting some unusual behaviors and just wasn't the same. So we went through some testing and he was diagnosed with frontotemporal lobe dementia, which is a bit different. It's more rare. Early onset, he was 58 when he had the diagnosis. It's different from Alzheimer's in the fact that his memory is intact, but he has a lot of missing pieces, emotion, affect, language. One of the things that cued me is he stopped talking to me. And I thought he was mad, but that's part of, he doesn't speak unless he has a cue. So that was one of the things that was unusual.
How did that feel when you finally found out what was happening?
Why? How could this be? You know, this vibrant man who I saw change and getting the answers was scary. And what does this mean for our lives now? You know, I'm reaching the end of my, he has other health issues, but I'm reaching the end of my work career, you know, travel and all of the things that we had talked about doing changed instantly.
How was Jeff when he was going through his diagnosis as well? Did things advance pretty quickly?
He was not ever concerned. He never has been. That's part of the disease itself. He doesn't have any emotion about it. He is now seeing some changes, but in the beginning, his comment was always, well, I feel normal. Everything's fine. But on the out, I know that I'm not because of what I hear I do or do not do.
With the diagnosis of any degree, this can change your dynamic, not just with your partner, but your family and friends. What kind of things change for you?
Well, definitely it was, what do we do now? And I live in a world that I try definitely, okay, we got this. How can we make this the best? What do I have to do now rather than not do anything? And so, you know, meeting with people and getting classes from the Alzheimer's Association. And we have pretty good support from family as far as emotional support, but the caretaking support really relies on me. And I don't like it. You know, I mean, I won't ever deny this is something I hate and always will. But how can I make it the best? And so we've learned how to do that and put things in place so that we're safe, comfortable, and have the best life possible.
For a lot of people going through the same thing, it is a necessity. There is no choice to try and work your way around caretaking and all the obstacles you face. So when you first learned of the diagnosis and you were getting proactive and what do we need to set up, what hurdles did you face, you know, when you were doing things such as applying for aid from the county?
Oh, the hurdles. First of all, I put out all of the paperwork in place so that I could be Jeff's advocate financially and medically. So we called for assessment from the county. And when the person came in, it was a ugly experience. His comments were negating our relationship completely. Anything that I said during the assessment was not included in the document. He right out said to Jeff, who is always fearful of medical and change, outright said to him, asked him if he had a guardian. Jeff didn't know. He looked at me and I said, no, he has me. And the person said, well, your husband can do nothing for you. And so we had a thing of fear. And through this whole process, he had no experience working with assessing dementia. And it was very degrading throughout the whole process, treating Jeff unkindly. And it was, wouldn't look at us at all. And so he left, and Jeff did not qualify for services that he needed. Then the fun began. The fight began, and I just kept pushing and pushing. They have dementia specialists at the county, and we were associated with them, Bashir and Andrea, and they became instant allies to help us overcome these hurdles, gave me the language that I needed. In the meantime, the person that evaluated us, his supervisor, tried to intimidate me and not talk to anybody about his behavior. And so it was, if I can just add about this, in my work, I work at Northwestern Mutual, we have an equality, inclusion, diversity and inclusion. And this is the first place I've ever worked where I could be fully authentic at work. And I was not going to be pushed back into the closet. And so that experience gave me the power to step through the fear. And I was in contact with anybody that I could be to get this changed up to the state level. And we got a new assessment. They came in and I said, you are the enemy. And we are in a battle. And I am going to win. But that moment of being that forceful, they stepped back and said, we want this to happen, the new people that came in. And within 24 hours, he had been approved.
I imagine it's hard if the resources you're going to, first off, don't have enough resources for the disease you're dealing with, but then to have that fundamental and personal level also not being appropriately handled or even just common courtesy given also adds a big blow to, you know, your psyche, your motivation. You are shouldering the burden of making sure your husband is being taken care of. So what kind of changes were specifically made? You know, whether it comes down to policy, language, levels, training for the assessors, things like that.
Yes. In the follow-up, I then had a follow-up with the department manager for disability services. And we talked about this because she knew I was upset. And she gave me an apology. But in addition, they have now done systemic change statewide to do dementia screening for those who have early onset, because that's a piece of it, so that they get the quality of care that they need. They also did LGBTQ sensitivity training. And so there were some victories there. And it was heartwarming. You know, I had to put the anger aside. I made a statement one time. Love was my motivator here, but anger was my drive. And so I'm a loving person, so I try to treat people lovingly. And so I changed that so that I could move forward. And it's opened a million doors, like the one right now that I'm sitting here with you, to continue to advocate and help others to understand the challenges, especially with the LGBT community, and to be a face in the community for us. The Alzheimer's Association and I have worked together to be part of many programs because of my face in the community, so that others can step through their fear. My age group, we're fearful. We're afraid still, regardless of anything. So it's not only helping my age group, but those behind us.
There are still discriminatory laws and practices. It varies state by state.
Sure.
And with your experience and what with the needs that you and Jeff have specifically had addressed, what do you think still needs to be done, whether it's the county level, state, ideally federal, to aid people going through the same thing that you are?
Well, I kind of live with a double-edged sword. One is about the dementia, and one is about our orientation. And so there are still things that need to be done within the dementia world, I think, to reach out to my community, to the LGBTQ community, to help them become comfortable and safe. It really is about safety and being not afraid. And if I can help pave that or be an advocate for those that aren't, then I will do it. One of the things we find in healthcare is I am a medical power of attorney. No, I'm his husband. So please, please give me my relationship. We've waited a long time for those words. And so it's really special to me. For those younger, it may not be. But to me, we waited for 20 years to be able to say that.
With a disease such as, you know, the early onset dementia and with FTD, there needs to come a time to have those ugly discussions with your partner, with your husband, with anyone in your close life who's affected with this, perhaps prematurely than people would think. But when these sort of things are thrown into people's lives, you need to talk about care, end of life, preparation, discussions.
Absolutely.
So with you going through this with your husband, Jeff, what are some good tools for other people to learn or to need in order to have these hard conversations? What did you take away from having those difficult topics addressed?
And we've had them all. We've talked about life and how your care is. And some are pretty scary to those that hear the decisions that we've come up with to have the best life possible. So one of the things I did was, I've got an ugly question, but I need to ask it, because if I don't ask it, I won't know. And I won't know how to help. And his case manager, they get it, that just ask the question. Because if you don't ask, you won't get the answer. And I would say, do it without some kind of diagnosis. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. I encourage anyone, regardless of their orientation, their health status, especially with dementia, it's scary, not only for the family members, but also for the person who has the disease. And I recommend highly in that realm to contact the Alzheimer's Association to learn the language, to have those conversations, to put people at ease and take away the fear. Because I can put my head down at night and fall asleep knowing if something changes tomorrow, I know exactly what to do.
You had a lot of groundwork to lay after Jeff's diagnosis, and you just mentioned get these conversations done right away, get the legality of it set up. But with your experience, just shifting from being a husband to now also being a husband, a caretaker, a provider, what advice would you give others who are also shouldered with the responsibility of being a caretaker? How do you take care of yourself?
That was just what I was going to say. Take care of yourself. Part of my coping is humor, and I use it all of the time, and sometimes it scares people because I can go pretty dark sometimes. But those that are really close to me just get it. So that's one of my coping skills, but respite is really important. Don't burden all of it. We just recently are now starting. I'm getting some respite care to have house cleaning, laundry, grocery shopping, errands done just a few hours a week. But it is a huge relief to me. One of the easiest things to say is, does this matter? That's the other thing that a caregiver has to learn. Is this important to do? Or are there other things that are more important? That's why my laundry can stay on the bed. I travel for respite. I try to get away at least once a month for a weekend, but I also do long-term travel. I'm fortunate because Jeff is able to be on his own, and he can manage his own care. But also during that travel, which is shocking to people, is Jeff and I have no contact while I'm gone because I am away from there. I'm on vacation and I travel abroad and don't contact me with emergencies because all of that will be in place when I get home. All that will do is ruin my respite. And that is a comment that people find shocking. But it is wonderful because I sleep, I rest, I have nothing to do. So that's really important. Take care of yourself, however that is.
How has your and Jeff's relationship grown stronger despite these obstacles?
Well, it's interesting because I'm grateful that I have the capability to be a caretaker, and not everybody is. And that's a conversation we had. I will do it as long as I can, but I may not be always the best person to do it, and things may have to change. And so having that conversation, that he knows that I'm in for the long run, and his mom especially found that to be, she said to me the other day, she said, I worry about some of my children, but I never worry about Jeff because of you. And so that's, for a mother to say that is amazing. But we just interact differently now. I mean, we may sit for hours on end in the room and never speak because he has his routine. Routine is really important to them. And so I watch his routine so I know what they are. But I'm just there. And I don't always like it. Sometimes I feel, well, I'm not really essential here. But I know that I am, and I know that it's the disease. And that's the hard part is, oh, I hate this thing. I hate this disease. But that brings my, I have another mantra that I live by, and it's great things come from doing something you hate for the sake of someone you love. And so many great things have come from this whole disease and our lives together. It's just, we have an amazing life. I have an amazing life, and Jeff has a comfortable life. He's very happy with how things are.
Well, Larry, I want to thank you so much for coming in today and sharing your story, and hopefully this can reach far more people that may be dealing with the same kind of issues.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I am so grateful to be here, and I appreciate you taking the time to see me today.
Milwaukee native Larry Ganatzig works for Northwestern Mutual. He is also his husband's caretaker and has become an advocate for equal health care for LGBTQ people.